This is Ask Me No Questions, a Psych Iron Man crossover fic, written by Black Eyed Girl and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated NC-17, contains the pairing Sean Spencer-Tony Stark, with spoilers for the end of Season 1 of Psych and Iron Man the movie. Tony doesn't really believe Pepper's going to take the vacation she's been threatening until the day that it happens. She'd marked it on every schedule in the house, plus left increasingly alarming notifications with Jarvis, and began reminding him herself at regular intervals from 3 months prior. Still, he doesn't actually factor it into his reality until he walks into the kitchen that morning, and there's a man playing with a yo-yo at his breakfast bar. "Hey," the guy says, and he's pretty good at pretending nonchalance. He's wearing jeans and a green t-shirt, skinny body and a badly shaven face. He doesn't look much like a thief, but then Obadiah hadn't looked like a murderer. Appearances can be deceptive. "Hi," Tony says. "You want to get out of my house? You know, before I have to decide whether to call security or just throw you at the door myself?" "Well, sure, you could do that. I mean, I could turn out to be a supervillain who used my amazing powers of mind manipulation to convince your bodyguards to let me in, and then talked your awesomely smart computer to let me stay, and I could be waiting to steal your new robot suit and kill you while you sleep." "Yeah?" Tony asks. "Or maybe the temp agency sent me. That's option B. Less interesting, more truthful. Isn't it weird the way that happens? It's Sean, by the way. With an H, not an E. Spencer has an E, and that's my last name. But I guess if you check your messages, you'll probably find that out yourself." Tony fires up his emails, and sure enough, the final one from Pepper, marked, "Last reminder, Tony, so stop ignoring me," told him that he was going to be followed around by a kid called Sean for 2 weeks. It also asked him to be nice. Tony frowns. "I don't like new people." He pours himself a coffee and goes down to the workshop. He tosses, "No calls unless it's Fury with an update on that lizard thing," over his shoulder. He catches the flash of a smile on the kid's face as he walks downstairs, and he's almost tempted to turn around. But there's work to do. Even if he doesn't need to figure out how to modify the suit to take on dinosaurs, there's still the kinks to work out of the stabilizers, and reviewing the new plans for Rhodey's suit. He doesn't have the time for distractions. Day 3, he finds Sean in the workshop. Sean has his head tilted sideways, looking at Dummy. Tony coughs. "He'll shoot, you know." Sean scoots backward in a hurry. "Admittedly, he'll shoot foam," Tony continues. "But the point stands. How the hell did you get in here?" "Pepper told me to clear up after you if you got busy and forgot." The coffee cups were disappearing. "Naturally, I suspected they were growing a rebellion force down here, ready to destroy us by sheer force of numbers. And look, I was right." "Not what I asked." Sean shrugs, looking innocent. "Pepper gave me the codes?" "No, she didn't. I know this partially because Pepper wouldn't do that, but mostly because Pepper's access codes are disabled until she gets back." Sean shrugs again. "Look." He picks up 7 mugs, balancing them on a tray he's found somewhere. He carries it one-handed upstairs. Tony asks, "Are you an assistant or a waiter?" "I like to think of myself as a good multitasker," Sean says. The door clicks closed, locked, behind him. Day 7, and Sean has found a dress shirt. He's wearing a suit, and still manages to look like he belongs on a beach or a college campus somewhere. He's leaning against the wall of the conference room, and dragging Tony's attention away from where it's supposed to be. Pepper manages to be both a beautiful and alluring woman, and yet somehow unobtrusive when she chooses. Sean is presumably not trying to make Tony want to strangle him, but there you are. He's distracting. Tony's easily distracted, especially by people he hasn't figured out yet. Sean coughs. That's just wrong. I mean, I get that if you want Mr. Stark to forget your economic promises to the developing world, this might seem like a good way to go about it. But that's not really your plan, is it, George? Because it would be a pretty dumb plan. The room silences. Things like this are the reason the board hates him. Sean? Tony asks. Subsidies. Page 190, halfway down the page. Your copy has a coffee stand by it. Tony flicks through to the page in question. He finds the coffee stain and the clause Sean means. What do you know? Tony says. Sean's right. He ignores the huff of indignation behind him. So, George, is this incompetence or malice? Think carefully before answering. Either way, I need your resignation before the end of the day. Tony walks out of the office, with Sean trailing after him. He pushes his files into Sean's hands. What did you do? Tony asks. I have a good memory, Sean says. His eyes are oddly serious, above a smile that is trying to make Tony look at that and nothing else. This has to stop. Day 10 is when Tony snaps. Sean is sitting cross-legged on Tony's chair in the workshop. He's sipping a pineapple smoothie through a straw, and there's a smashed surveillance device under the desk. Sean's hands slide across the screens Jarvis is displaying for him. Tony shoves the chair back. Okay, who the hell are you? Did Fury send you, or someone else? Sean Spencer. No, Pepper. Did you hit your head? Because I can call someone. Happy can have a call ready in about 30 seconds. Do you know how fast those things go? Tony leans over Sean in the chair, his hands braced on either side of Sean's head. Sean swallows. Tony's mixed up between loving the effect and wondering how he accidentally hired a bored genius to temp for him. Once upon a time, he would have called it serendipity and fucked the kid over the desk. He's a little more suspicious now. Sean says, Hey no, man, it's... There was a bug. He waves his hands wildly. Not like a mosquito bug, an electronic one. It was listening to you and stuff. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. Even I need a little time to work on a theory. Tony raises his eyebrow. And you know this how? Sean smiles, and there's an edge to it that Tony recognizes from his reflection in shattered glass. Because I'm very, very smart. Someone doesn't like you. Would you like to help me find out who? Tony laughs. Kid, calling up the list of people who don't like me would break Jarvis's servers. I've got better ways to spend my time. Sean tilts his head in question. Tony pushes the chair back against the wall. Sean's mouth slips open in an, oh. But, and Tony's own genius intellect pulls up that first remark about truth. Sean wasn't lying about being smart. His arms stop their jerky explanation and drop to Tony's fly. Tony's had sex in more confined places than a desk chair, but Sean twists, and they're clearly going to need more space than this. He gets his hands under Sean's ass and lifts him up. He half-carries Sean to the crash mats, where there is space to lay the kid out and look at the sprawl he makes. Sean blinks and pulls Tony down to him. He's noisy and messy, and this is why Tony sometimes likes to fuck men. Sean curses when he gets his hands caught in his own belt, and Tony pushes his hands away. Tony gets the ubiquitous jeans off Sean's hips. And then the shirt. Tony drags his own clothes off with practiced ease, and Sean's fingers press against each inch of skin. Tony gets the slightly unnerving feeling of being memorized. Sean murmurs nonsensically, "Close your eyes." Tony obliges anyway, and finds himself turned over. Sean kisses him, and then mouths the crook of his neck in the hollow of his throat. Tony watches Sean's fingers skate around the edge of the arc reactor casing. Sean laughs quietly. "You are absolutely the coolest boss I've ever had. And there's been a few. I was Clooney's personal trainer, you know." Laughing, Tony gets his hand into Sean's boxers. "I've seen Clooney naked. I wouldn't get too excited about that." Sean looks at him. "Yeah," Tony thinks, "I can bullshit with the best of them." And Sean's the best. Sean is hard and pressing against Tony's hand. Sean says, "Come on, Tony, we're not delayed gratification people." This is true. Tony wraps his arms around Sean's waist and pulls him down. All they need is the rub up and down of Sean's body sliding against his. Sometimes it doesn't need to be complicated. Warm and sticky, Sean slips down beside him. "So," Tony says, "when you took this gig, was it about me or my other job?" "I don't know," Sean says. "Take me flying before I leave and I can let you know." Day 13 and a half, Sean is lying asleep beside Tony in the bed. He sleeps like someone who normally sleeps alone, limbs akimbo under the sheets. Tony has one of Sean's hands in his, looking at his fingers. Sean stirs.
"I just want you to know," he says,
"that while I'm not normally a morning person, if you're measuring my hands for my very own robot suit, I can deal with that." Tony looks at him. "I'd be a great superhero," Sean says, "as long as no one told my dad. Then I'm pretty sure I'd be a dead superhero. Have you ever found a good answer for the whole illegal vigilantism hindering the work of real cops thing?" Tony says, "You have poker hands. You play?" "Only when I'm broke. No challenge. You?" "I like something riskier," Tony agrees. "I knew there was a reason you were the only superhero I liked," Sean says. He rolls over in the bed, coaxing Tony's morning wood to full awareness. Sean magics the lube out of thin air, fingering himself open before kneeling over the top of Tony. Tony's done the research now. Sean's test scores, his criminal record, and a job history that proves him right on that multitasking thing. The Santa Barbara Police Department, and some unspecified reprimand. Something maybe related to that Gus Jules dad, whose calls Sean ignores when he thinks that Tony's working. Tony's got no room to help anyone else with their issues. He holds onto Sean's hips when he lowers himself down. Tony whispers, "Last day. You want to go for a fly after breakfast?" Sean's laughter is breathless, but delighted. He fucks himself open on Tony's cock, grinning to himself. Tony asks, "So, is this your best temp job?" He's seen the list, but he fancies his chances anyway. Sean thinks about it, because he can, and because it makes Tony pull him down harder. He's speeding up. And Tony smiles to himself because it's as much about the promise of flight as Tony's palm around his cock. Sean bends down to kiss him and says, "Top five, definitely." The end.